I'll say good morning again. There we go. Now, you'll notice we've not got stuff up on screens because things aren't speaking, but just to let you know that it's just one of those days. YouTube didn't work at all for lime kilns this morning. So technology is there to trip us up, I think. Anyway, we are here to worship Almighty God, and Alistair will take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning. Morning, yes. And a very warm welcome, as usual, to one and all, especially visitors and newcomers alike. Intimations we have. There's a joint church session meeting at Limekilns Church this Friday at 7:30. The cycling club will have its next outing on Saturday, 19th, to the Fourth Road Bridge. More information from Derek on 882190. The Eternity Discussion Group will begin its next series of meetings on Tuesday the 22nd at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room. We're looking at the Old Testament books of Jonah, Joel and Amos as a Life Builder study resource. So all welcome, and again contact Derek if any more information. Walking group, next church walk is on Sunday the 3rd of September in the Falkirk Wheel area. Meet here in the car park at 2 p.m. The Banner group will be resuming tomorrow night at 7:30. And we also have an invitation from Salon Church. They're having a barbecue on Sunday the 27th of August at 1 p.m. Everyone is welcome. They would appreciate a donation of £5, but there's absolutely no obligation. So there's a sign-up sheet which I'll put back out in the vestibule where you can append your name, etc., if you're interested in going to that. So these are all the intimations.
Thank you. Maybe just add to that, thank you to everybody that was involved in the barbecue and Sanctuary Cinema on Thursday. Yep, got the day right. It was good, and George will be pleased to know that I didn't meet anybody up at Casualty after the barbecue. Yeah, George was cooking, and we survived. But no, it was good, and I certainly know my family enjoyed it. So, well done, folks. Let's worship God now. Let's sing to God's praise and glory in hymn number 125, Lord of all being, throned afar.
Center and soul.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer, gifts of time, talent, and money. We seek your blessing upon our giving as these things are used to your glory. We offer our gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. And now our prayers of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Faithful God, before the world began, you loved us. Before you had created us, you were faithful to us. We, as your people, are thankful for your great love. That love that has been shown again and again down through the ages. For you have never abandoned us, even though we as humanity have turned from you. You have never forgotten us, even though humanity has strayed from the path that you had for us. We praise you, faithful God, for the steadfast love that you have always had and all the ways that you have guided us in life. For your promise that has never faltered, for the light of your presence, for that story of salvation and our place in it. For you have called us to be your people. And so it is with one voice we give you praise and thanks. We gather this morning in your presence, not as those who deserve to be here, but as those who have been called to this place. We come here as those who have faith and yet struggle with faith. We come as those who want to sing your praise, and yet sometimes we can barely face the day. We are here because we are your people. And we know that we need you. We are here because we know that we are imperfect and you are the one who forgives. So we take a moment to confess our wrong before you. We receive your forgiveness and pray that you will renew us to be your faithful people. We gather here as part of your church universal and pray that as your family on earth today, we may be all that your children should be. And now, in the name of Jesus Christ, our faithful and forgiving friend, we offer the words that he gave to his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue by singing hymn number 601, Look Upon Us, Blessed Lord.
Thank you.
This week was an important week for lots of young people. And some of us may remember how we felt many decades ago, for some of us, including me. If you watched, listened, or read the news this week, you would know that the Scottish exam results arrived. I realise, of course, that it was exactly 50 years ago that I received a brown envelope containing my first set of school exams. I haven't really thought about this moment for many years, but as it struck me that it was exactly 50 years ago I received my O-grade envelope through the post, all those memories came flooding back. The sound of the doorbell early in the morning, with me still in my bed as a teenage boy, of course. The postie had to ring the bell because they were not permitted to fold that envelope to go through the door. Then my mother standing at my bedroom door with expectation, waiting. And most of all, that feeling of both relief and joy as I read what was contained in the envelope. There was an O grade the school expected me to fail, and I didn't. There was the O grade I suspected I would probably fail, and I managed to scrape a C. And then there were those other O grades where it would have seemed a fail had I not got an A, because I did have a fair conceit of myself as a small teenager. Memory is a strange thing. Some things we think that are lost to the past will suddenly spring back into our minds. There are people, of course, who have almost photographic memories, and sometimes I envy them, because, like I suspect most folk, my memory is a bit of a mystery. I don't understand why some of the major events of my life, I have almost no memory of them. And yet other inconsequential things I can remember quite clearly. Sometimes a long buried memory will come to the surface because of a single word that we hear or read. I discovered that actually all our senses are involved. A wee while ago now, I suddenly had that feeling of being on holiday, and I realised that something in the air had reminded me of summer holidays in Elgin as a child. Now, I have no idea what Elgin smells like or what it was that suddenly I smelt and I was back on holiday all those decades ago. It just triggered memory. Music can trigger memories. A reminder of places, times, and events can be tied into a piece of music. And memories come flooding back with the sounds of a time. Sometimes it's the music that we really liked. But it doesn't have to be. I just need to hear the Bay City Rollers, and I'm reminded of my sister, her terrible taste in music, and the ridiculous clothes that she wore. A question that is sometimes asked during interviews of celebrities is, what would be the soundtrack of your life? I was having a wee think about that. What would be the soundtrack to your life? What's the music that you associate with the times and places in your life? For me, there is the music I listened to, but also music that I played in brass bands. Then it struck me that a significant part of my soundtrack would be psalms, hymns, and Christian songs. When I drove a motorbike, I used to sing hymns as I drove. Thankfully, nobody could hear me inside the crash helmet. In our readings today, quite obviously one of them is a psalm, but the other reading from 2 Timothy ends with some words that are thought by many scholars to be one of the earliest Christian hymns that we know. So let's hear some words that were sung. Words from the Psalms and words from Paul's second letter to Timothy. And Seamus is going to read for us.
So we read this morning from Psalm 85, and we read from verse 1 to verse 13, the faithfulness of God. You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. But let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Second reading this morning is from the New Testament, from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we read from verse 1 to verse 13. Be strong. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Hymn number 182. Now thank we all our God. One of the most nerve-wracking exams of my life was my driving test. In fact, it was probably the first time that I had worried about a test or exam in my young life. I was 23 when I sat that. And I can still remember the nervousness of that day. Thankfully, I passed. And after passing my test, I received a very particular gift. It was something that many young drivers were given as they passed their test. It was a road atlas of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. In today's world of smartphones and sat-navs, it probably seems a bit of an anachronism. These gadgets are fine, and of course gadgets are fine when they work, as we've discovered this morning. But I still like to look at a map. If I am going somewhere, if I have to navigate, I like to have reference points in my head. Of course, I very often go to the computer and look at an electronic map, but I still do look at a map. When it comes to finding things in the Bible, I use a very similar process. I like to have a map in my head. When it comes to the Old Testament, the one book above all others that I use to navigate is the book of Psalms. It is a very easy book to find in the Old Testament. It's round about the middle. And because it goes all the way up to 150, you tend to see a number and you think, yes, I'm in the book of Psalms. And I can almost tell you absolutely whether a book of the Old Testament is before or after the book of Psalms. I can't list them all in order, but I know on which side of the book of Psalms they are. It is my first reference point to finding my way. I also realized as I was thinking that the book of Psalms for me has been an important spiritual reference point at all sorts of times of life. Through the Psalms, we find almost every emotion expressed, including things that we would not, as Christian people, feel very happy about saying in God's presence. There are expressions of faith, and that's great. But there are expressions of doubt and fear and anger that we would maybe be reticent in talking about before God. And it is a reminder in that book that God is interested in all of us. And the authors of the Psalms really took that to heart. They said some terrible things to God because it's how they were feeling. A reminder that we can do that too. It's no wonder that many have used the words of the Psalms to express how they are feeling at a particular moment. And in that, we are being like Jesus. There are many times that Jesus used the Psalms to express how he was feeling. Those words of despair on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Some of what we find is clearly linked to a moment in history, and particularly the Psalms of David. If you look at the little inscription with the psalm, you'll very often find that it says, by David, when, and it talks about an incident in his life. It seems that David took where he was to God in song. When I looked for information on Psalm 85, it was noted that most scholars don't exactly know the time and place of this psalm, although most of them associate it with either a moment where the people of Israel are longing for the end of exile, or it is when they have just returned from exile and are trying to rebuild their lives after being restored to their own land. It is a psalm that recognizes the faithfulness of God and the need for the people to be more faithful. It is a psalm that recognizes the folly of humanity as against the faithfulness of God, human weakness as opposed to the strength of God. Psalm 85 has also appeared in a fair bit of Christian art down through the centuries. In a number of paintings, love, faithfulness, righteousness, and peace are presented as figures. They are personified. But the Hebrew of these relationships is not as harmonious as presented in Christian art. Faithfulness and righteousness, peace, and love are all represented as being in a constant relationship. The Hebrew words that are used in this psalm can say that, but they equally express a relationship where love contends with faithfulness and righteousness contends with peace. Some Jewish scholars have a very different understanding from Christian artists. And they see in that part of that psalm a contest, as though God is contesting with these personifications who are his advisors in heaven, and that somehow God's righteousness and God's choice goes against heavenly wisdom. That somehow God's choice in terms of humanity and humanity is contradictory. And of course, worth remembering that Paul describes himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees. He would have understood this psalm from a perspective of Hebrew scholarship. And he would have seen that contradiction, perhaps exemplified primarily in Jesus. This faithfulness of God toward sinful humanity, when the logic of perfection would say that God should be against human beings. In his advice to Timothy, what Paul is talking about in that trustworthy saying at the end of our reading today is said to be part of one of the earliest Christian hymns. And it is very like Psalm 85, where we have the rewards of faithfulness and the consequences of unfaithfulness. But a reminder that in this, that the faithfulness of God in Christ is not dependent upon us. For God himself cannot be unfaithful. This follows on from Paul's advice to Timothy, where he uses three illustrations that would have been very well known to Timothy. Those of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. We could summarize this advice as obedience, discipline, and patience. The soldier on the battlefield has to trust and obey those in command. In the confusion of conflict, the soldier on the ground cannot see the big picture. The soldier who chooses his own way rather than going by the commands he receives becomes counterproductive, a danger to his friends, and a source of confusion. For Paul and Timothy, the Roman army was legendary. That disciplined army, as far as they could tell, had taken over the entire world. Nobody could stand against them. And so the picture was of the good soldier, the person who listens to God's command, does what God wants because God sees the big picture. Paul quite often uses the athlete as a picture. And here he talks about competing by the rules. The true athlete is disciplined. And in fact, we talk about the different forms of athletics as disciplines. In other words, keeping to and practicing and being right to win the medal or whatever it is. And of course, we have the example set by Jesus, who Paul would see as, I suppose, as the coach who exemplifies what true humanity is. And then there is the farmer who should receive reward, but that reward does not come instantly. The farmer puts in a lot of effort, but has to wait. The crops don't suddenly appear. The results are not instant. And then Paul uses his own situation to encourage. For people like Timothy, the arrest of Paul, and at that time, and in a number of places a fair bit of persecution. It must have seemed that everything was again the Christian people. And Paul says, yes, he has been faithful to the point of being chained as a criminal. But God's word is not chained. And that is the message. The advice to Timothy is to be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. He has all that Paul passed on to him, and he in turn is to pass that strength on to others. And of course, that is where we are. We are like Timothy. We look back to those who strengthened our faith by their word and by their witness. And we in turn have to be faithful and pass on that faith to the next generations. We are in debt to those who are before us and have a responsibility to those who are after us. And in this, like Timothy, we should be those faithful soldiers of Christ. Those who are like the disciplined athlete, stretching forward for the prize. And like the farmer, waiting patiently for God to give the growth. And it was thinking about this that I came across that quotation from Winston Churchill. Because so often we are caught up in the success of a moment or the failure of a moment. And in that little quotation, success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. We are those who are called to have the faithfulness, the courage to continue, regardless of what is around us and whether we think we are succeeding or whether we think we are failing. That is all in God's hands. We are simply called to have courage and to be faithful, to be the people that God would have us be. Amen. We sing hymn number 270, Put All Your Trust in God. our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Almighty God, hear us now as we take a moment to offer our prayers for others and for ourselves. We pray for those in need across our world, in our nation, and amongst those we know personally. We think of the people of Hawaii as they come to terms with the death and destruction caused by the wildfire of this week, and also the people of Portugal, again coping with the effects of wildfire in their land. And in Norway, floods causing danger and damage, and the warning of more to come. As we pray for these things so current in our news, so we remember those who are coping with the effects of disasters of the past weeks, months, and years. We think of the need that people have for aid to reach them quickly, and their ongoing need for aid into the future. We think of the organisations and people who reach out to those in need in our world. And we think of that bigger picture, the demand that we care for this world of which we are part, not least for us as people of faith, who say that this is God's creation, that we as God's people are stewards of creation. Help us to be faithful in our care of God's world. And as we pray for this world, so we remember those many things that appear in news stories that tell us about the plight of refugees. Again this week, stories of people risking their lives to cross the Mediterranean and the Channel. People seeking a better life in Europe and in our own nation. People leaving home and kindred. We think of the difficult decisions that have to be made by people in authority about what we should or should not do. We are very aware of the controversial decisions being made in our own land. Help us to remember that very few people leave home and kindred for no reason. Guide us as a nation to show compassion to those who are fleeing war and persecution, poverty and despair. And whatever our thoughts or feelings, our politics or our beliefs, help us to have love at the heart of our being. Guide those who are making decisions on our behalf to what is good and right, to what should be. As we pray for our country, we remember our young people, particularly those who have received the results of their exams. We give thanks for those who have the joy of achievement. We pray for comfort for those who have not achieved what they hoped for. We ask you to be with those who celebrate and look forward, to be with those who are fearful for the future. And looking forward to this week, we remember all who work in education, the staff and teachers of our schools, colleges and universities. Guide and enable them in their work to provide education in our land. And in these difficult times, in challenging times for people of faith, we remember your church. guide us, help us to be faithful. Help us when we feel weak. Guide us to what is right and good in our time. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to place our trust in you. And now a moment to pray for those whose need is known to us in a much more personal way. We come before you with the joys and sorrows of our families, our friends, and our neighbours. And to these we add our own thoughts and feelings, those things that bring us joy, and those things that are our burden of sorrow. Hear us now as we offer our personal prayer to you. You have heard our prayers and our requests. You are the God who rejoices with us and weeps with us. In Jesus, you know us at the depth of our humanity, and by your Spirit you are ever present. So with confidence we present these prayers to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing praise, hymn number 466, Before the Throne of God Above. Now, to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.